welcome to another episode of Book Echoes, the podcast on making great books while making creative lives that work for us. I'm your host, author Connie B. Dowell, and coming to you on the, 11th, 1st, 23rd, it could be any day in between there, day of social distancing. We have all forgotten how long it's been. That's how long it's been. Yeah, so it's been a ride that still continues. But one I'm actually not going to focus on too much today, because today is the 50th official episode. We've had some kind of unofficial starts and restarts, but the 50th official episode of Book Echoes, the podcast. So to be a little bright and cheery, I'm going to focus on something other than COVID, because that's been the focus for the past month. And while I'm still going to continue to address it, it still continues to affect us, I'm not going to make it the primary focus of episodes going forward. I'm going to start getting some authors on and talking more about business, not exactly as usual, because nothing is usual these days, but just business going forward. And writing going forward, and life going forward. So, in a couple of updates, I am busily plotting two new books. I've got two books on pre-order now. A Villain in the Vineyard, that is my next modern cozy mystery. And Airplanes and Alibis, which is my next historical. So, I had planned to spend this spring visiting lots of wineries, getting myself in the spirit, but instead I can just enjoy some wine from my backyard and have to rely on memories of wineries. However, I can't go back in time, so I never could really get out of the house to, I guess I could have gone to see some antique airplanes in person, but I'll have to rely on memories and on pictures on the internet and all of the research I can do electronically about air shows and about silent movies in the early 1920s. That's going to be a great deal of fun. In other less writing-related news, I've also been busy doing a lot of client work while my kids crawl all over me, but you know, we've been watching the garden grow, getting our homemade haircuts. I don't think mine turned out half bad. I actually kind of like what I did with the clippers. On the other hand, I can't see the back of my own head, so it could be terrible, but I would never know. Blissfully will never know. All right, so let's move on to the topic of this, the 50th episode, and I want to talk to you guys a little bit about reader expectations, because something I'm planning in some upcoming episodes is to get more in depth with reader expectations per genre, to get some other authors on here to talk about genres, their genres and subgenres, and what readers expect and what readers really get emotionally out of each one. You can probably hear my kids yelling downstairs right now. They are being really loud, but we press on. We do our best. So let's move on to reader expectations more generally. So there are several ways that you set up expectations and fulfill or perhaps, unfortunately, don't fulfill reader expectations. And one of those is by the promises you make in your narrative. The commonly cited Chekhov quote of, if you have a gun on the dresser in the first act, it will be fired by the third. It's so commonly repeated as to be cliche, but it is so for a reason. When you make promises, when you have that gun on the dresser in the first act, the reader is waiting for the moment that it will be fired. When you set up and you say you're going to solve a mystery or fight a dragon early in the story, we're waiting for the killer to be caught. We're waiting for the big battle with the dragon. Whatever big thing that you're hinting at is coming, you want to deliver on that promise to satisfy those reader expectations. Now, this can be done in the narrative itself early on. This is also something that you want, if you are an indie author, you want to look closely at your book descriptions. Are you setting up the right expectations? Does your book description really match what's inside and tease at what's inside so that they don't just want to look, but when they look, they get what they are expecting from the description? Reader expectations also, you know, they also come into play with matters of tone. And the tone is set really early on in the book and also by the book description. When you read the book description, when you read the first few pages of the book, what emotions are you expecting to experience throughout this book? Is this going to be a lighthearted romp? Then maybe you don't want a kind of grisly, gory horror scene in the middle of it. If the tone is really funny and light or sarcastic, then you probably don't want to go that dark. On the other hand, if you start out with a tone that's very ominous, it would feel a little weird if a few pages in, a few chapters in, you got something that was very light and full of jokes. There are always going to be moments where the tone changes. And even sometimes in the darkest books or the most serious books, there are moments when levity is appropriate. But you kind of generally want to have a tone that is set that is consistent throughout the book. To give you an example for a first line, the first line of the Hunger Games, and I'm probably quoting this a little bit incorrectly here, but it's something to the effect of, when I woke that morning, it's present tense, so I keep wanting to turn it to past tense because that's what I write in, but when I wake this morning, the bed beside me is cold. It's instantly a tone that's ominous. Someone should have been there, but she's not. And the bed is cold. So she's been gone a while. Opening with someone being missing sets a tone that indicates what you're going to get for the rest of the novel. And that more serious, intense, and often ominous tone, it's a promise that's fulfilled upon. Let's contrast that opening with the opening sentence of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Okay, so here's a couple of the opening lines from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Far out in the uncharted backwaters of the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm of the galaxy lies a small, unregarded yellow sun. Orbiting this at a distance of roughly 98 million miles is an utterly insignificant little blue-green planet whose ape-descended life forms are so amazingly primitive that they still think digital watches are a pretty neat idea. So the tone here is pretty significantly different than Hunger Games. But again, it is immediately apparent and distinctive what kind of book you're getting, what kind of tone you're getting from that opening line. Yes, this is science fiction, but it is also hilarious science fiction. It is light. It is, you know, insignificant little life forms. It's the unfashionable end of the western spiral arm. So it tells you what to expect and what to expect is not to take any of this too seriously. So next, let's look at reader expectations. Again, and we'll do a really deep dive in several episodes, but to broadly look at reader expectations in terms of genre expectations. Because genre expectations, while they can feel fun to flout every once in a while, they are important for whether readers feel satisfied with the book. There are certain things that there are certain rules you can break, but there are also some rules that are perhaps inviolable for your genre, and it's important to know what those are. For example, if you're writing a romance and the ending is not happy, most romance readers don't consider that a romance. It might be a really great book, it might be a really great dramatic story, but they would not categorize that as a romance, that a happy ending or a happily for now ending is absolutely required. And so if you try to sell that book as a romance, you'll end up with a lot of disappointed readers. Likewise, to talk about my own genre, mystery, you better figure out who done it at the end. If you don't, it starts, you know, it's very unsatisfactory. There's a lot more conventions as well that I can go into more depth with other mystery writers, but that's probably the big one. You promised we would solve a mystery. If we end and it's unsolved, we're not going to be satisfied. So let's talk about when you might go contrary to reader expectations. One of the ways you might do that is in a genre mashup, which can be really fun. And it's the way that we as writers, we as readers, get new genres, is when people take the expectations and the tropes from one genre and the expectations and the tropes from a different genre and mix them all up. But if you're going to do a genre mashup, it's important to set the reader expectation early via your book description, via your first pages, via your cover. Again, if you're an indie author and you are choosing your cover, you want to make it really clear in the packaging of the book that this is a genre mashup. You'd want to make sure the reader knows what they're getting into so that you don't present, you know, a book, say, as a contemporary romance, and then halfway through, the aliens descend. That's not gonna make the reader who expected a contemporary romance very happy, even if they're also the kind of reader who loves science fiction. It's just they didn't know what to expect. The genre changed on them in the middle. However, there is an entire subgenre of books, a subgenre of romance, called sci-fi romance. So there are readers who like both, who like that genre mashup, but they need to know from the beginning that that's what they're getting. Another reason why you might push expectations, and again, we're going to have a deeper dive definitely on one upcoming episode, probably on many upcoming episodes, and that's diversity issues. There are some genres that are more diverse than others. There are some genres where representation and diversity is lacking, and so pushing reader expectations in that direction is definitely a noble goal. So introducing different kinds of characters where readers maybe don't expect them to reflect the new diverse world. And again, we'll go maybe more into this on representation in another episode, one in which I definitely will not be the only voice talking, because that would just not be appropriate on a diversity episode. So basically it boils down to this. It's like how the advice for writers to brush up on to learn the rules of standard English grammar. And again, I say standard English, not what is right. It's just what is standard because there are many different grammars. But to learn the rules of standard English grammar so that when they break them, they do so with intention. And that's the key with expectations as well. When you break those reader expectations, you want to do it with intention, with a motive, rather than breaking those expectations because you didn't recognize those expectations in the first place. So that is some of the basics on reader expectations. I am looking forward to speaking to more authors and going into genre expectations in a much more depth. And look out for those episodes coming up. So until next time, stay healthy, wash your hands, and happy writing. Quick announcement here, and this is a last minute development. That's why it's being tacked on here at the end of the episode. On May the 1st, I am participating in an author services giveaway via a Facebook group run by Melissa Storm through her company Lit Ring. So I'm one of the author services providers giving away, and in my case, a package of two coaching consulting calls to work out, plot issues or productivity issues that might be keeping you from finishing your manuscript. That's two calls with follow-up via email. And that is one of the many services being donated to this incredible giveaway. And again, to enter, you need to be a member of that Facebook group. Link in the show notes of this episode if you want to join. So that is happening on Friday, May the 1st, so 2 days from when this episode goes out.